Look at how you're sitting right now, the way you're processing these words. We like to think of our sense of self as, highly personal or maybe biological.
Right, but what if it's not?
Exactly. What if you are actually a prototype designed by a Spanish bureaucrat centuries ago? Today, we're doing an exploration into the source material, specifically a collection called Culture and the State in Spain, 1550 to 1850.
Yeah, it's a really dense stack of research. Mm-hmm. And our mission today is to trace how the Spanish state stopped just ruling over territory and actually started manufacturing the modern individual.
Going from knights and castles to, like, internal mind control.
Right. So it's a massive shift from external violence to internal discipline. Mm-hmm. In the medieval era, power was, it was blunt. You step out of line, the state sends someone to physically break you.
Yeah, literal brute force.
Exactly. Oh. But by the 1500s, thinkers like Cristobal de Villalón, in his work El Scholástico, they draft this new blueprint. They introduce this concept of the beautiful soul.
The beautiful soul.
Yeah, it's a person who governs themselves. Not because they're afraid of the gallows, but through, like, virtue and a genuine love for the state's ideals.
Okay, so they essentially outsourced the policing to the individual's own conscience. It's like a software update for society. You just install the law directly into the user's brain instead of sending knights to enforce it.
That is a perfect way to put it.
But why would a 16th century peasant just accept that? I mean, why give up the freedom of being a rowdy serf for this, self-imposed virtue?
Well, the state tied that virtue directly to your social survival. And you see this really clearly in how they handled language. So in 1558, Villon publishes his Gramática Castellana.
A grammar book.
Right. But he didn't just want people to communicate better. He wanted to, quote, reduce language to art, which sounds pretty, but it was really grammatical law.
Wait, I'm struggling with that a bit. If I'm a peasant back then, I'm probably illiterate, right?
Almost certainly, yeah.
So how does a Spanish grammar book trap my soul if I can't even read the rules?
That is the trick. It's not about reading the book itself. It's about the social hierarchy the book creates. Even if you can't read, you are suddenly judged by this new, correct way to speak in public.
Oh, I see. So if your language is unrefined, you're just excluded.
Exactly. Your private self had to be managed to align with the state's public standard. If you didn't sound like the state, you didn't belong to the nation.
So identity becomes this performance of fitting in. But looking at the sources, there's a much darker side to this, right? To define who a pure Spaniard was, they had to get very specific about who they weren't.
Yes, and we need to look at the purity of blood statutes, the limpieza de sangre.
And just a quick note for our listeners here, the sources get into some heavily charged discriminatory historical concepts right now. We obviously aren't taking any sides or endorsing these views. We're just impartially reporting on what the original source material describes.
Right, absolutely. So the statecraft here gets completely biological. They didn't just say minorities like Jews or Moriscos, which were Muslim converts, were different. They actively racialized and sexualized them.
Wow.
Yeah, and the sources detail how the state circulated narratives about tainted lineages and deviant hygiene. It was designed to trigger a gut-level physical revulsion in quote-unquote pure Spaniards.
So your very blood becomes a border wall. It's twisted, but psychologically very clever. I mean, if the state makes you feel physically superior based on blood, you'll defend that hierarchy like you're defending your own body.
Exactly.
But ironically, while they were obsessing over purity, the country was actually going bankrupt, wasn't it?
Oh, completely rotting from within. This leads to what González de Chelerigo called the Republic of Enchanted Men.
The Republic of Enchanted Men. That sounds wild.
It is. By the 17th century, Spain was technically the wealthiest nation on earth because of all that American silver. Yet it was drowning in debt. The enchantment was just this illusion of wealth.
Right, because the elite just stopped making things.
Precisely. They lived on censas, which were private loans backed by property, and euros, which were state bonds.
Wait, so everyone is basically just living on credit and government interest? How does an entire nation decide to just stop working?
Because remember that subject the state manufactured? They were taught to value noble idleness over actual productivity. Working with your hands was seen as base or impure.
So they'd rather have the appearance of honor, even while the actual silver was flowing right out to foreign bankers.
Exactly. They were enchanted by the status of being a rentier, while the actual empire was turning to dust.
That is just nuts. The state builds your conscience. It tells you how to speak, defines your blood, and then convinces you that being broke but noble is the ultimate goal. Fast forward to the 19th century, the sources suggest that even art and literature became part of this trap.
That is the final twist. By the 1800s, the aesthetic sphere, literature and poetry, was framed as a place where you were free from the state. But that very feeling of autonomy actually made the control invisible.
Oh, man.
Yeah. If you think you're making free choices while privately enjoying a novel, you stop noticing that the values in that novel were installed by the state centuries ago.
Right. The control is coming from inside the house. The freedom we feel in art might just be the ultimate form of state management.
Exactly.
Well, as we wrap up this exploration, here is a final provocative thought for everyone to mull over on their own. Look at the standardized ways you identify yourself today, or even just the proper ways you speak in a meeting. Are those really your own choices, or are you still just sitting in a 16th century classroom that you never realized you joined?